I thank everyone for coming this evening. Okay, we're ready to begin. The topic tonight I was very excited to prepare because I really knew nothing about, which is the three steps we take before Shmon Esrei, which we do hopefully three times a day, and the steps we take after Shmon Esrei as well. And I know, I'm speaking for myself, oftentimes I have no idea what I'm doing, and when you're rushed, you kind of do it like halfway. I'm speaking for myself, you kind of do it halfway, quickly, not so much, depending on where you are, where you're standing, what the rush is before or after. And looking into it, I find this very interesting. As I was preparing, after I made the sheet, just to make sure I had it all down, I realized I should really start in the middle. I prepared the sheet in chronological order, which is the steps we take before Shmon Esrei, then the steps we take after Shmon Esrei. We should really start the other way around, because the only source really in the Gemara is taking steps after Shmon Esrei. So even though I made the sheet this way, I was leaving school at like 6:45, and I didn't have time to renumber and reorder everything. So I'd like us to start in source 16, and we're going to start the steps after Shmon Esrei, because that's actually in the Gemara. And what I like to do, try to explain the reasons behind it and what feeling or thoughts it's supposed to evoke, and then discuss how to do it, the practical as well. So Gemara in Yuma in source 16, Daf Nun Gimel and Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Rab Alexandri Amar Bishuman Levi. Rab Alexandri says the name of Bishuman Levi. Hamispalel, one who davined. Excuse me, Tzarek Shefsia. Shalosh psios la'acharav needs to take three steps behind him. Va'achar kach yitain shalom. And then he could give shalom. Now does that mean shalom to people? Does that mean oseh shalom b'maroma? That's a question in the Mefarshim. But he needs to take his three steps back. The Gemara doesn't say why. The Gemara doesn't say what the source is. It's not a pasuk. The Gemara just says this is what you need to do. So Amalei Rav Mordechai. Rav Mordechai. I don't know how many times a Rav Mordechai appears in Shas. To be honest with you, this is the first time, not that it's saying a lot, I haven't been through so much of Shas, but I had never seen a Rav Mordechai before in the Gemara. Kevan shepasa shalosh psios l'acharav, hasam ibaya leila mekam. When you take your three steps back, you need to stay there. You need to stand there. Why? Mashal atalmud anifter merabo. It's comparable to a student who's leaving his Rebbe, im chozer la'alter. If when he leaves, he comes right back. Doma lekelev sheshav al keyo. A very strong language. It's comparable to a dog going back to its vomit. What exactly does that mean? The Gemara says even stronger. Tanya nami hachi. There's a supporting brisa. Hamispal atzar shefsiyah shalos psios lacharav v'acharka chitain lo shalom. Person needs to take the three steps back and then give shalom. V'im lo asakein ro'i lo shalo yispal. Which is very extreme. If a person davens, it could be he davened with amazing kavana. He davens. I guess we said something wrong. We drove people out already. So davens with amazing kavana, but he doesn't take his three steps back. It'd been better if he didn't daven. I don't know, Shiel here. Which, and please help yourself with some food while we're learning. So what exactly does that mean? Why is it like a why is it so bad? What does it show if you don't take the steps back and stay there? So, the Levush explains that it's derech kavod v'hachna, honor and humility, when an eved leaves his master, when a student leaves his teacher, not to just walk away, to as you take a step back, to wait a couple seconds. The image I have in my mind is a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, who are newly married, or maybe even married for a long time, and still have that feeling, and they go to the airport, and they're going on a trip for a long time. Maybe you're picturing it from a movie, and it's really not, doesn't really happen in real life. And as they get onto the plane, and you say goodbye, so they don't just walk straight to the gate and through. Every couple seconds, you're turning around, you're waiting a little bit. It's this feeling of longing that I'm not just like walking. I'm not just walking away. We just spent 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes standing with the king, with the Melech Malchei HaMelechim. We were talking to God to just to just walk away is not so right. So we don't just turn around and walk away. We take three steps back, almost like we're still looking at the king. We're still there. We stop for a few seconds and pause, and then we can go on our way. That's how the Levush explains this notion that when we're done davening, we don't just walk away. We take steps back and wait there a couple seconds. In source 18, the Shibule Aleket, quoted by the Beis Yosef, says something very interesting. Davening is super kadosh. We're standing with the king. We're done. We're going back to our mundane life. So in his words, he says, "Kidei shiyetzei." It's middle of source 18. Mimakom kedusha, v'yamod b'makom chol. We're transitioning from kodesh, from kedusha, from godliness, to taking off our tefillin and going to work. So we want to take our steps back slowly and then almost like pause for a little bit as we transition into our everyday activity. I think, now I don't know if this is what he means, but the way I understood it is that we want to take with us some of that kedusha and use that to transition into our everyday life. So as we're done Shmoneh Esrei, we walk back a little bit slowly and pause for a second and think, okay, I just spent time with God, talking to God. I'm now going to work, which might be not the most godly time or experience. I'm going on the train and the subway, walking around. But I want to take some of that with me. So we walk away slowly to bring some of that with us. That's the second explanation I saw. The third explanation is really interesting. It's really fascinating. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, those who learned Daf Yomi got to this recently, and Sadi Vav, Amun Aleph in Sanhedrin, says that Nebuchadnezzar, why was he Zoche? Why was he the one to destroy the Beis Hamikdash? He ran three steps for God, and because of those three steps, God gave him the right, I guess, so to speak. It's hard to understand why was that the right, and what he'd do to be Zoche to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, but it was him running for God that destroyed, that gave him the ability to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. So we take.
What do you mean he ran for God?
I don't know. Okay, what's the story?
He ran to the letter carrier to stop him and change the definition to put more praises for God in the letter that was being sent.
The letter was being sent. He stopped.
The carrier. More praises for God into the letter.
Add more praises of God into the letter. So that was an honor of God. So because of that, God let him be the one to destroy. For him, that was a big zechus.
Was he a believer in God?
I don't know. He's definitely not a good dude. but there are not good dudes who believe in God.
It's like Eglon.
Eglon believes in
when
God?
When Ehud Ben Gera came in, he said, I have a letter from God. He stood up. And that's why the Mashiach comes from Eglon, not from Ehud Ben Gera.
Listen, let's be honest. There are a lot of really religious people who do a lot of really bad things. Does that mean they don't believe in God?
No.
People have desires, and people have psychological problems, and people aren't perfect. People are far from perfect. So he ran, and because of that, he was able to destroy Beis Hamikdash. So we don't run, but we take three steps forward to rectify that, and that's why we take our three steps. Says Aruch HaShulchan, that's why at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, if you ever wonder why we say this, so what do we say? Basically, right after we take our steps back, Sheibana Beis Hamikdash Meheru Amin V'Sein Chalkeinu B'Sar Sacha V'Sham Na'avancha B'Yira. What does that have to do with davening? What does that have to do with Shmoneh Esrei? So says Aruch HaShulchan, because the reason we're taking our three steps back, it's in source 20. It's on the top of page 3. He quotes this Gemara and this Chazal. He says, therefore we daven the third line, V'Lezeh Anu Mevakshin Lehepech. We're asking the opposite. Shebeschar psiyasenu niska libinyano. If those steps destroy the Beis Hamikdash, so we're going to take the opposite. We're going to take positive steps, and we're going to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. Now, I don't know if that's through a Shmoneh Esrei. Avodah is connected korban, maybe. Right, one of the reasons we daven Shmoneh Esrei is because we don't have the korbanos anymore. It feels connected to me. The Gemara says maybe that's what it means. Otherwise, it's nice that we're davening. What does that have to do with building the Beis Hamikdash? How does that add up? How does that match up? He took steps, so he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. We take steps, and we daven. I'm not sure exactly how that's a parallel tikkun.
Well, davening is in place.
Davening is in place for the korban. You have to say something like that.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why he says, umisaimin, v'sein chalkeinu b'sar secha, tekach siyeh matana ba'avos, zeu pashut, mishum da'az niskel, or a Torah gamkin harba yoser yata, apior shal beis hamikdash, we have the beis hamikdash, we have sein chalkeinu b'sar secha, we have the beis hamikdash, there's a lot of liman ha-Torah, and that's the third explanation. So I would take the three steps back. So again, the first explanation is we're leaving God. You don't just walk away. There's a sense of humility and honor when you're walking away from someone. That's why when you walk away from the Aron Kodesh, you're supposed to not walk, turn your back to the Aron Kodesh. When you walk away from the Kotel, people you see turn around and walk that way. When you walk out of Shul, there are people don't turn around. They walk out backwards. There's something, you know, Kavodik when you walk away slowly and pause. Almost like taking a glance, soaking in what we just accomplished. That's the first shot. The second explanation is that we're transitioning. And I think the way I'm understanding it is that we want to take with us some of what we did to the rest part of our life. It shouldn't just be that we're daven and we're done. And then this idea of nevuchad netzar. How do we take our steps back? So it's a debate whether you start with your right foot or start with your left foot. The consensus in the Shulchan Aruch, we'll do it outside, is you start with your left foot. So there's a long bear halacha about if you're a lefty. To be honest, I didn't have adequate time to look into that. You know, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Shalita, wrote a whole sefer, simon by simon in Shulchan Aruch, for every single halacha, how it applies to a lefty. Amazing. Rabbi Pesach Kron did one in English in honor of his son's bar mitzvah, who's a lefty.
Should be on the lefty Facebook page.
There's a lefty Facebook?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Actually, we'll get the saber. I'll try to get it for you.
What's his name?
Lefty's going. Iter Yad. I'll find it. The name of the saber, I'll find it and I'll email it to you. It's very interesting. I don't know if he's a lefty or he just knows everything. You know when he writes his svarim, right? We know the story?
Yeah,
Reb Chaim Kanievsky learns, you ready for this? Every year, he learns Kol HaTorah Kula. Now, Kol HaTorah Kula is Bavli.
Yeah, right.
Now, if you learn a daf a day, it's 7.5 years. He learns in a year. Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifri, Sifra, Shulchan Aruch, Baal Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, and all of Tanakh.
Wow.
Every year. Reb Chaim Kanievsky learns Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifri, Sifra, Da'al Chalkei Shulchan Aruch and Tanakh. Every year, he knows Kol HaTorah Kula by heart, basically. On a leap year, a Jewish leap year, so he has a month to play with. So you and I would go on vacation, right? So that's when he writes his svarim. Every year, there's a Jewish leap year, he puts out two or three svarim. He has a whole month to play with. It's unbelievable. So he has, some are on major topics and some are on very obscure. He wrote a sefer on Egla Rufa. It's like a 300-page sefer on Egla Rufa. He wrote the sefer on every halacha, how it applies to all of you. So anyways, the consensus is that you take a step back with your left foot beyond your right foot, and then your right, I feel like we're doing the hokey pokey over here. You do that, you take your right foot behind the left foot, and then your left foot to be even up with your right foot. That seems to be the consensus. As a machokas, left foot or right foot, usually we start with the right. But here you're not really going to the side. Okay. So this is the discussion. That seems to be the consensus, to go left foot first, a little bit beyond your right foot, and then the right foot a little bit beyond the left foot, and then left foot even with the right foot, and then even. There's also a very interesting discussion about not taking steps that are too big. It looks a little haughty. You always have those guys when they come back from Israel who think they have to go from the front of the shul to the back of the shul.
Like Mother May I.
Yeah.
Giant step.
Yeah. Red light, green light, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
You always have those guys. The Beis Yosef already says it's mechzi ki yura. If the whole point you're thinking about is that it's kavod, so do it. It's not about you, right? It's,
and they look backwards. Like there's a guy like at the end. Like
no, well that actually is a halacha that you're not allowed to go within Dalet Amos.
The guy's like 20 feet away from the frum guys who came back to answer. So it's like.
Right, it's only within Dalet Amos. Yeah. So if you're taking normal size steps, it's only within a certain range. So that's all. Taking your steps back. There is no Gemara that I found that says anything about before Shemoneh Esrei.
Does it have to be back?
You talking about before Shemoneh Esrei?
Now, when you're talking about after Shemona Esrei.
You're done your Shemona Esrei, you're going to go forward?
When you're between pews, you got to go sideways.
Right, so then you kind of go back, you go backwards to the side. Sometimes some shuls, it's very, when they're the benches are very close together, it becomes very hard to take steps exactly back. So you can kind of turn your body and go backwards that way. So that's when you're done Shemona Esrei.
You don't go take the three steps back after you're going, you don't take three steps forward after you went back?
After you take your steps back?
You do that. You stay back.
I didn't see that you have to go.
Everybody seems to
stay. Everyone seems to do that, right? You take, well, the Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to bow down and you take your three steps back and then you go like this. You go like this, you're like this, you're right. Then the minhag is to go like this and do the whole like heel exercise thing, which, to be honest with you, I didn't look into that. It should be a topic another time. I got very busy. As you can see with the 26.
It's like you're putting an exclamation point. Like you go forward and you do your
A little dance, it's like Kiddush Levana. I don't know. The truth is I have to look into that. I didn't see a discussion when the discussion is take your three steps back, pause for a little bit. Stop. Don't just walk away. Finishing it off and going back forward, I don't know. It could be it is. It could be it's somewhere that I don't remember seeing.
I'm not sure where the sorcerer is, but I think one of the reasons given is so that you just should have had a transformative experience in davening, and hopefully it changed you, so that when you take your steps forward, it's like you're going back into the regular world, and hopefully with a new vision similar to Shema when you take
it. We want a little bit go far. Okay, come here.
Well, at some point you have to go back to where you started from. I mean, it's...
Right. You mean you start at point A, and now you're three steps behind that. Right. So, but
isn't that like a Grateful Dead song or something like that?
I don't know.
Meaning, what you're saying is that you don't. There's no din. There's no halakha. You have to go back. Just practically go back to. It could be. I didn't.
On the wrong bench.
It could be.
There for a reason. I mean, if you just stay back, that doesn't really show that you waited to do anything.
Well, I took my steps back, I paused for a few seconds, and now I go take my tefillin off, or I stand for Chazar Shashats.
You don't back out of a room and then just back,
go back in. So I don't know.
The idea is like you're trying to become they can move away.
Right. But you're staying there.
What are you going forward for?
Right,
but if the source is like he was saying, how it's like you're supposed to have a shul backwards or a kotel, like you're leaving the cover of Hashem. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to go forward.
So I'm not. Mirtz Hashem, we'll look into that. But I can hear both svaras said. That's all taking our steps back after Shemona Esrei. There's no Gemara that I saw that says anything about before Shemona Esrei moving forward, back or forward. So the Shulchan Aruch, though, now we're back on source one, and I made the sources in chronological order as opposed to the order that made sense to do it. The Shulchan Aruch says in the end of source one, it's underlined, the Yesh Omrim, Kisha Omei Liz Palal, when you stand, you get ready to daven, Yelech Lefanov Gimel Psios. A person should go forward three steps. Derech Karo Vehagasha Ledover Shitzarek Lasos. Moving close and preparing to what someone needs to do. That is the Gemara. Now, do you need to take three steps back before you take your three steps forward? No, I don't mean you need to logistically. It could be you have to because there's a bench behind you because you knock into the guy behind you. That, but not necessarily. It depends. I don't have that problem. Right? Sometimes if I take the three steps back, I'm just going to flip over backwards over the boards that are behind where I sit. But depending on where you sit, you might... I'm asking you not... Is there a halacha that you need to take your three steps back? Many of us do. Maybe we don't. I don't know. Or is it enough where you just stand up and take your three steps forward?
If you're diving the kotel with an enormous plaza, not up against the wall, and you're there, then you really should. Then everybody would be moving forward.
So you don't need to move back.
I mean, we do it because we always do it.
Well, I'm asking you, do you have to do it, or do we do it?
I did not.
Okay, so
you have to go forward.
So it's a machlokas. If you take a look in source 2, the Eli Rab on the bottom, he writes, Gam nira she'ein tzarech lachsor lachorav. You don't need to go back to go forward. Dainu kasher omid etzel hakotel. He doesn't mean, I don't think the kotel amaravi. You're standing by a wall. You don't need to. Maybe you do if you're standing by a wall. Otherwise, you're going to walk into the wall. So you don't have to. It's just practically you might need to. The Mishnah Brura and the Aruch HaShulchan both say the minhag olam is not doing. The Mishnah Brura in source 3 says vein tzarich lachzor lacharem kei lech lefanav kakasu eli rabba. Aval minhag olam leilech lachrab. The minhag. Now I don't know if he means the minhag just because that's what people do because practically it's easier, or that's the minhag. It sounds to me that that's the minhag. And the Aruch HaShulchan says the same thing, that a person should take steps back and then take steps forward. Now we'll see in a little bit why we take the steps before Shmoneh Esrei. The stipler is quoted that he didn't take steps back or steps forward. He just davened. So this whole thing is not, I mean, it seems like he did against the Shulchan Aruch, but there's no source really in Gemara or even in Rishonim that the Beis Yosef, I don't think, mentions it. Could be I'm wrong there, but definitely not in the Gemara like it is by taking your steps after davening. So the stipler going didn't. So for those of us who do, so when do we take the steps back? So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, interestingly, says when you get to Tehilos Lekel Elyon, that's when you should stand up. Most people don't do that. Most people stand up at Micha Mocha. But he says you're supposed to stand up at Tehilos Lekel Elyon. You stand up and you get yourself ready for Shmoneh Esrei. Get yourself mindset. Then you take your three steps back. Right before you say Tehilos Lekel Elyon. Baruch Hu Mevarach. Then you say the Tehilos. You say until Gal Yisrael. When you get to Gal Yisrael, then you take your steps forward. That's how the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch explains the protocol. But what are we doing? Why are we taking these steps? What's the point? We saw three reasons why we take steps after davening, which I hear. Why before davening do we need to step forward? So I saw actually seven reasons. So then I would say then just after Kaddish.
You have no choice.
I mean,
okay,
so you have no choice.
They don't add anything special to do that anymore.
Okay, but you still have to take your steps. There's no tilos, so you just take your steps, I would say, after Kaddish.
So you see, it's not dependent on tilos. So,
okay. No, it's not. It's just tilos gives you a couple of moments to prepare. It's like a...
So why tilos instead of michmoch?
I don't know.
It's like the anthem before they drop the puck.
Right. I don't know why Tehillos before Micha Mocha. I'm not sure. So there are a couple of reasons given. One reason given is that's preparation. Before you do anything full of Kedusha, before you do anything serious, take a moment to prepare. Take a moment to prepare. So by taking your steps back and getting into a different place, so to speak, it gives you a couple seconds to pause and think a little bit about what we're doing, which I think would benefit our Shmoneh Esrei very much. Another explanation, take a look in source 9, number 5, where it's underlined. I thought this is from the Kaf HaChaim, quote in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos. I thought this was very interesting. He says, Valideisha poseya la'achorav v'chozer l'lofanav, by taking steps back and then going forward, mora b'zeh hachna'a l'fnei Hashem Yisbarach. It's a major sign of humility. Shehu nirsa umefached lageshes lefanav. Kim midas hachesed shenasin lana rishus l'spalo. Who are we to go into the king and start davening to him? Rav Soloveitchik was into this, that davening needs a matir. You need something to allow you to just be brazen-faced, to just go start talking to the king. What? Not that we're low, but what are we? We just talk to the king? You're just going in there? Naturally, when people are going to meet a famous person, people have gone to the White House. I remember Jonathan Teitelbaum telling me when he sang at the White House with one of these choirs years ago, they were like petrified. They went to a hotel the day before, and they were also singing and performing. They practiced, they shaved like 8 times to make sure they looked presentable. I was never zoche to meet the president. The closest I came to meeting someone, I mean, Lahavdil, a billion times over, is 2 years ago when I went to Israel. So I went to meet Reb Chaim Kanievsky and get a bracha. Reb Chaim Kanievsky we just spoke about. And when I walked into that room, I couldn't talk. I can't explain it. I said a bracha, Shechalak Mechachmaso, the bracha you say when you see a Talmud Chacham. And I asked him a question, And I couldn't explain it. I never experienced anything like that in my life. I could explain it. I once had a Rabbi David from Torah Shraga told me that when he was in Israel, he went to go hear to meet Reb Chatzkel Levenstein. Reb Chatzkel Levenstein was the mashkiach of the Mir in Poland, and basically led them with Reb Chaim Shmulevitz on their escape to, from Vilna to Kobe, Japan, to Shanghai, came to America for 2 years, and then went to Eretz Yisrael, the Mashkech and Panovich. He was a fiery, fiery person who was all, you read his Musar Sfarim, it's Yerushimayim, Yerushimayim, and Yerushimayim, and Yerushimayim, and Yerushimayim. It's pretty antithetical to the positive psychology of today. It's a very, it's real Musar. So right, David told me he went to meet him, and he walked into the room and looked at him and ran out. There was such a pachad. I remember 1 year in YU when I was single, I was davening at one of the minyanim in morgue, maybe the morgue basement or Goldlich's minyan, and Rav Lichtenstein came and I had to lane for him when he got an aliyah. And again, I was so nervous, I could barely get the words out. I made 100 mistakes. I started laning like it was my bar mitzvah again. You know, amen. I got. It was a pacha. You're sitting in front of an adam god the whole time. So, kavachomer. We're going to talk to God. We're going to be one on one with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We saw last week our fear together. We're like the angels. We're mamish up in Shemayim. So, don't just go right into it. So take steps back a little bit. Almost like you're scared. We're scared to go in. We're scared to go in. Don't be so confident or so overly optimistic. I mean, you should be optimistic. I don't know exactly the right word, but pause for a little bit. Take 3 steps back, and now we can step forward. We're ready to daven to Hashem, which I thought was very. I was thinking that today in Mincha, it did put my Shmoneh Esrei in a little bit of a different zone. The other explanation I will tell you is interesting, and I'll add my own twist to it. The Gra says this, the Elia Rabba says this. 3 times in the Torah, when it comes to davening, or in Tanakh, the word Vayigash appears. So let's see if anyone knows 2 of them in the Torah. Vayigash Elav Yehuda.
Yeah, that's one, but there's also the first one, which is what I was thinking of with this, is when Abraham talks to Hashem about Sodom. So first it says Abraham Odeno and Omeid Yivrei Hashem, and then the next pasuk is Vayigash Abraham.
Source 13. I actually had that pasuk, which is the pasuk before that. And I wanted to really keep this to 3 pages, so I cut
that. At the end of the thing, what it said, Abraham Shavli Komo.
Interesting.
Is after the.
Very interesting. So 3 times Vayigash Abraham, Vayomar Af Tispet Sadikim Rasha, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, and in Malach Malaf Perak Yudches. And to be honest with you, my Navi knowledge is very, very weak, and I didn't have ample time today to look into what was going on in there. Maybe someone here could help me out. Vayigash Eliyahu HaNavi, Vayomer Hashem, Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yisrael, Hayom, and he says a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyone know what that tefillah was for?
Wasn't this when he was doing the big show in front of all the... people.
So what was the tefillah for?
You want the fire to come down.
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't go so well if I want to say with the first two, but so there's 3 Vayigashes, so we want to be Vayigash. Vayigash means to go, to step forward, to greet, so to speak. So therefore, because of those Vayigashes, we take 3 steps forward to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I thought it was interesting, the first two are both tefillahs for someone else. And Avram was praying in behalf of Sodom, and Yehuda was praying basically to let Binyamin be freed. So I thought it was an interesting maybe take that we're about to daven, all davening until the Elokai Netzor is Lashon Rabim. We're not just davening for ourselves, we're davening for other people. So we tap in to two places in the Torah. It doesn't work with the Malachim, but it doesn't mean the Pshat is wrong. We want to remind ourselves that let's not just focus on ourselves, let's focus on others. Now, there's no protocol that I saw in how to take these steps forward. Now, I don't know if it's the same taking the steps back and then taking the steps forward like it is after Shemoneh Esrei, but it's not in the Shulchan Aruch or in the Mishnah Berurah or in the contemporary Svarim, the Ishei Yisrael and Tefillah Kehilchosa, Halicha Shlomo, and I asked other people, and everyone's like, come to think about it, I don't know. Now, I think it would make sense probably to go back the same way when you've done Shemoneh Esrei and then reverse that going forward.
People do what their father did, and that's all. We don't know why, but we just keep doing the same thing.
I don't even know if I do my... I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I just do.
Keep doing it.
I do. I think the important piece is to not just do it now, but now when we take our three steps back or forward, it changes Shemoneh Esrei. It changes Shemoneh Esrei. Go back and go forward and think about that humility and what I'm about to do. I think about that kol davar shebekdusha tzarchachana. Let me not just daven. We're all in a rush constantly. And let me just take even 3 seconds, clear my head, think about what I'm about to do, and then step forward. I'm ready. You know, a person goes into the boss and wants to ask for a raise or for an extended vacation or for anything else you need to ask for. So they don't just go right in, right? As you're about to go into the door, maybe you check your, you look okay, your tie is on straight, and you like get a clear head and be in the good zone and think through what we're about to do. And that's it, one idea before Shemoneh Esrei. This idea of humility, maybe the vayigash, 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 about thinking about other people. When we're done, to transition. Take some of what we just did and what the kiddusha of davening and Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem. We just ask for health. What are we doing with our health? And atachonin and bring that into our everyday life and some of the other explanations. And I think it could certainly transform our Shemoneh Esrei and transform the rest of our lives as well. Shkach, I have a lot of things to look into, which I hopefully we'll get back to everyone at some point soon.